So you're not doing your homework?
I guess not. It all just seems kind of whatever.
I know high school can seem kind of frustrating. But if you just get through it, then you can go to college, you know, or you can join the French Foreign Legion or anything you want.
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna do all that stuff.
Okay, no Foreign Legion. I get that. I mean, all the changing your name and being indentured for all those years and occupying Algeria.
It's just that I'm not graduating from high school.
Why not?
I really like that shirt. Where'd you get it?
Cassie, don't change the subject. Why won't you graduate?
Because next Friday I'm gonna die.
Howdy, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, giving our review, our reactions. We're your hosts. I am Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And today we're talking about Season 7, Episode 4, titled Help. Directed by Rick Rosenthal. Written by Rebecca Rand Kirshner. Original air date, October 15th, 2002, to an audience of 5.04 million people. And no shout-outs today. Just a couple lonely, no up-top announcements, really. We just freaking...
We can announce once again that we have Clueless available on Patreon. And Boys Watching Movies. That is a can't-miss podcast.
We did do that. People seem to be digging that one. Mm-hmm. We also are doing Boys Watching Angel on Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy, where you get Joe's Fresh Report / Corner, Boys Watching Angel, Boys Watching Movies. It's a whole good time over there on the Patreon. Join our Discord, where we have a bunch of lively conversations, reactions, corrections, omissions. Talks about previous seasons, talks about dental floss and which ones are best to use.
Yeah.
Gets wild. Yeah, all kinds of life advice. Yeah. How'd you feel about this episode, Help, Vance?
I enjoyed this episode for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was... I'm sensing a theme of the season.
Okay.
And that is... who is to blame for a lot of this stuff? Because a lot of talk about like who's to blame for this, who's to blame for that. There's a lot of talk about that in this episode. There was a lot of talk about it in the last episode. And I'm like, this is the don't beat yourself up season, Buffy.
Yeah, I felt the theme was more why. It's more why do you keep doing this if it seems like it's not going to work? We've had this previous season. It's like, why does a Slayer continue to fight if you're not going to... Why continue the war on drugs if you're not going to get rid of all the drugs? You know? Like, why keep battling evil to only end up losing at the end and you save one person, but you can't save them all kind of thing? That's there. But I nailed my prediction. I said Buffy helps students at school.
Yeah, he helps definitely did.
Helps a student at school. Yeah.
I don't know what I said. I said something about the Beatles movie.
Yep, you said it would be a reenactment of Help, the Beatles movie. You said that Willow needs help and that Dawn would be a damsel in distress. So strike.
Yeah, I struck out on that one. Yeah. That was three strikes. Oh, geez, Louise, that's fucking terrible.
Yeah, the reenactment of the Beatles help is more of a joke, so we'll let that slide. Yeah. That's fine.
But all right, shall we crack into our monster era, Vance?
Sure.
Which one are you going with today?
I am just going opposite and going Zero Ultra.
Dude, same.
Yeah.
How many times in a row can we get the same ones? We did Peachy Keen last time.
That's twice. I feel like I'm just going to go back and forth, though. I want it to be
dig Zero Ultra, though.
I was going to be like, PG Keen is for these type of episodes and then Ultra is for this. I don't know. Just what the mood strikes you.
Yeah. All right. Well.
But I will say these do kick in when we start recording Angel podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. <dude. laughs> I start to feel a lot more energized when we're talking about Angel.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it. This episode opens up. Not a lot of recap, I gotta say.
They pared it down.
Not a lot. It's a recap of Willow and Anya hanging out, and then Buffy getting a job at the school. And then they're into it.
Yeah, that's all we need to know.
Yeah. So we open up with a dead lady in a casket, and like a mortician and the funeral home director are there, and they're talking like, oh, you did a really good job on her. Oh, thanks. I really worked hard on it. They leave. And then there's like four other caskets in there. And then one of the caskets opens and it's Buffy is inside of it. Then another casket opens and it's Xander inside of it. And Xander and Buffy start talking. They're like, oh, man, I'm annoyed that we had to stay in these caskets for so long just because of one lousy potential vampire. And I was like, how did no one notice this?
That's the theme right there. Just saving, killing one vampire. All this work.
And as they're discussing, like, damn, dude, this is a lot of work for just one lousy vampire. Dawn starts knocking on her coffin because apparently she's in a coffin that has like a child safety lock or something, she said. She's in the kid, little kid coffin. She's like, I don't know why I'm in the little kid's coffin. I'm taller than you. You should be in the little kid one. I was like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. I don't know why they're doing this.
Yeah.
Why can't they just walk in?
I just think that this is a terrible plan.
I have a bigger question about the timing of people turning into vampires. Sometimes they're crawling out of the ground. Sometimes they turn in the casket while it's like at the viewing.
There has to have been a mortician that was like doing makeup on a vampire and then they just wake up as a vampire. I guess it just depends on your stamina or something.
I don't know.
How close you are to the master's bloodline.
How did they get in these? I mean, it's illogical to even try to think about how they pulled this off.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of those things where it's like, we can nitpick that all day and it's crazy. But like, this is one of the ones where I'll excuse like, okay, whatever. Yeah. This is fine. I mean,
if I had to rationalize it, I would say they were in there. They heard the funeral home director come. And then they decided, oh, I'll hop in here and hide.
Okay. I'll accept that headcanon.
as opposed to them like being carried and set down and placed. Yeah.
So everybody starts talking about how stressed they are. Buffy's all stressed out. Dawn's stressed because, you know, Willow's come back and that's stressful. And then Buffy's like, yeah, it's that. Plus there's some kind of humongo big bad lurking in the background and we don't know what it's all about. And it's also Buffy's first week at her job as a counselor and she's nervous about talking to the kids. And Xander is like, hey, don't stress about that. You're going to be great at talking to those kids. You're going to be really good at your job. And it's like, oh, Xander.
Yeah, she's got zero.
Good friend.
She's got zero training, zero experience. Like, not qualified for it at all.
Yeah.
Shouldn't she have had PTSD from being in a coffin?
You know?
If anything was going to trigger anything, it would probably be that.
Yeah. So they walk over to the coffin with the lady in it, and they're inspecting her, and Buffy's got, like, a flashlight on her face, and they're all like, I don't know, man. She looks pretty restful to me. I don't know. Maybe this one... It's not a vampire. And Buffy's like, I read the reports. There were talks of contusions in her neck and mysterious marks on her neck. We have to inspect this. And then they're all looking at her and they're kind of like, yeah, you know what? Maybe she's not a vampire. Maybe this is just, yeah, she looks pretty at peace. And then as soon as they say that, the lady wakes up as a vampire. She's like, do I look at peace now? And Buffy's like, oh, here we go, and just dusts her immediately.
all that work. The funeral home director has explained this, like, why grandma's not, not there.
Yep. Yep.
I would think in that situation, you would just stab just to be sure.
Yeah, it's not going to make her more dead.
Yeah.
The funeral home director does come in. Would you like unbutton her?
Yeah, and unbutton. Then you have to unbutton just so you don't stab through the clothes.
Then you're undressing a dead. That's creepy as fuck.
Have you seen what she does?
Yeah, you know what? Never mind. She fucks dead yeah, people.
No, yeah.
Yeah, never mind. Yeah. She was in love with a dead guy. All right, yeah.
Two of them, yeah.
Yeah, well, she wasn't in love with Spike, but maybe.
Whatever that was.
Whatever that was. At the end of the episode. whatever's going on at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But, Buffy dusts this lady, and then it's the next day, and Buffy's at her desk at the school. And some girl comes up to her and she's talking about how she's feeling picked on. And Buffy's like, ooh, okay, yeah, this is good. It's because bullies are all insecure. And the girl's like, that's what everybody fucking says. And now we're getting like a montage of kids coming to Buffy for help. A kid comes in, talks to her about he's worried about his parents getting divorced. And Buffy's like, oh, my parents got divorced. And the kid's like, oh, no, actually, I'm not worried about that. They're still together. Buffy's like, huh? And then some other kid comes in. He's got a mustache. And he's like, I don't want to talk to you. And Buffy's like, all right, fine. And so then Buffy tells the one kid with the divorced parents or getting divorced or worried about divorced parents to go back to class. And he's like, all right, fine. And then Buffy starts to talk to the girl that's getting bullied. And she's saying like, hey, you got to just stand up for yourself. And the girl is like, oh, I did. I slammed his face onto a car or something like that. She's like, you think I should do it some more? Oh, a pavement. Jeez, yeah. That's even more brutal.
Or like, yeah, in the playground or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, you think I should beat him up some more? Because that's kind of why I'm here. I got sent because I've been beating the shit out of all these people. And Buffy's like, So this whole counseling thing might be a little bit more complex than Buffy was thinking.
Yeah. Did you recognize any of these actors?
The kid with the parents of divorce looked really familiar to me.
That is
Peter.
Peter is Zachary Ty Bryan, the oldest kid in Home Improvement. The
oldest son from Home Improvement. Yes.
The guy who doesn't really get named Tomas is Ricky Gonzalez. He's actually a buddy, my buddy's friend. He's in Coach Carter, Old School. He's in the new Law and Order, the Law and Order Major Crimes right now. He's been in a bunch of stuff, that guy, okay. Ricky Gonzalez. And the girl who is Amanda, who was slamming the bully's head in the concrete, she's from Freaks and Geeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I didn't recognize her.
Yeah, I didn't. I had to look her up. I figured she might have been in something, but she's in Freaks and Geeks. But
I definitely recognized Peter. And when you said it was the Home Improvement kid, I was like, oh, yeah of course. And then when you said the other guy is in Old School, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's in Old School, and I don't think he has a line in Old School the same as that one dude from Hot Tub Time Machine. They're like in the frat, but they don't really get lines in that movie.
Yeah, Rob Corddry.
Like, they're just in that movie, but they don't really have lines in it. But they're, like, in so many scenes. I think the guy from, like, Big Bang Theory, too, is in that, like, one of the guys from that.
Johnny Galecki or Jim Parsons?
No, one of the other.
Oh, Wallowitz, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he has lines in Old School. I haven't seen Old School in forever, but.
I haven't seen it in forever. What a fucking classic movie that you could go back and it's horrendously problematic.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, I remember the first like scene of the movie is Luke Wilson getting into a taxi and he's in the back seat and he's like, seatbelt's not working. What do you suggest I do? And the driver says, I suggest you stop being such a, and then he drops a hard gay slur on him.
And that's when you're like, this is comedy is going to be lit.
Yeah. Times were different back then.
If there's not a hard F. A hard R. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh.
Yeah. It's a hard F with a hard T at the end. That's one thing. It's like, that's one of the first scenes of that movie. Yeah. Different times, man.
Different times.
Different times.
The times that Joe longs for. Listening.
Oh, I mean, I'm look. Look, some things were better, some things were not. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, Buffy's all verklempt because she doesn't know how to help all these kids. She might be in over her head a little bit.
It's insane that the school didn't have a counselor before.
It's insane. Well, they did, but it was Halfrek. Mm. And then they had the black guy.
No, but they didn't. They didn't because...
Oh, that was a different school.
And also, that's how Buffy knew that Halfrek was a vengeance demon, because she said there are no counselors.
What was that black guy that was going
to
help Buffy?
He was outside of the school. He was they sent her to like a different... I don't think he was in the school, was he?
I thought that he was.
Maybe. Well, they didn't replace him after he died.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, that guy died real quick.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then we go over to Willow and Xander. They're walking, and they think that Buffy's probably given some great advice to these kids. And they discuss all the threats that are going on in Sunnydale. There's all these demons and monsters and vampires. And then there's, of course, this big looming threat that's going on. And Willow's feeling insecure about whether she'll be able to help. And she doesn't know if she's going to be able to do anything. And if she does do anything, she doesn't understand if she'll be able to control her power. And she's worried about becoming evil Willow again. And then Xander drops a sweet analogy on her about like, yeah, look, I don't know much about this magic stuff. But I will tell you, I know a little bit about construction. So here's my analogy. I feel like your magic power is kind of like working with a hammer. And if you grip the hammer from the bottom, you have a bunch of power, but you don't have a lot of control. So if you swing that hammer, you could end up hitting your finger and hurting yourself. But if you choke up on the hammer, you have a lot more control. But it might take you a lot more swings of the hammer to get the nail into the thing. And Willow is like, whoa, Xander, all this time I thought you were a big dumb dipshit. And here you are with a good analogy. And I was like, yeah, that's a pretty good analogy.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? You just need to hold the baseball bat like Anya in the opening credits. in the middle.
Yeah, like Kevin Euclid or whatever.
It's a fun little analogy thing. I don't know how it physically helps her, how it actually helps her, but sure.
Yeah, it was just a nice little thing of Xander and Willow bonding after being gone for a while.
Yeah, she's back in. She's all back in.
Yep, she's a part of it. But yeah, Willow still kind of goes on and she's like, I'm just worried that I'm going to become black eyes, veiny Willow again, and Xander's like, don't worry, you won't. And he goes, all right, are you ready? And she goes, all right, I think I'm going to go and do this alone. And then she walks up, and I wrote in my notes in all caps, they've been in a cemetery this whole time? Because it's like, they're like walking along the water. It looks like this beautiful park. And then Willow just like walks away and the camera pans her a bunch of graves.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Dude, Sunnydale is 90% cemetery.
That was so crazy, dude. When they pan and reveal all the graves, I was like, no way.
Yeah, there's people like biking down a bike path, sitting on benches, like having picnics.
Like old people throwing bread to ducks and shit. Yeah.
and I couldn't believe that Tara's buried in Sunnydale. Like, I know she's not cool with her family.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I couldn't, like, Willow walks up to Tara's grave, and this is like, she's going to go and talk to Tara and be like, hey, I'm here. She puts a bunch of rocks on her grave. Yeah. It's like, what's that?
I was like, is this supposed to be something that we know? Like, even if they were crystals, it would work better.
Yeah, it wasn't crystals, though. It was just like pebbles that you pick up along the way.
Those were skipping rocks.
Yeah. But yeah, she's talking like, oh, Tara, hi, I miss you. I'm here. She starts crying. It's really emotional. Yeah, we get to see Tara's last name, McClay or whatever.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
We get a lot of last names this week. Even in even in Angel, we got some last names.
Yeah. So Buffy is back at her office and she's with the Ricky Gonzalez. That's the name, right?
That's the actor's name. I think they call he's listed as Tomas. But, yeah.
But right. She's sitting there in silence with him, and because he didn't want to talk. And then eventually he opens up and he's like, all right, yeah, fine, I'll talk. I'm scared. My brother is joining the Marines. And I'm afraid that I'm going to be alone because I don't want him to die. And it's scary now. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is post 9/11. If his brother's in the Marines, he's shipped, dude.
He's safer.
It's 2002.
He's safer in the Marines than in Sunnydale, though.
Yeah. You know what? That is an excellent point.
Yeah.
That is an excellent point.
It would have undercut everything, but Buffy should have said that.
Yeah. But Buffy's like, have you talked with your brother about that? And he's like, nah, I don't really know if I should. And Buffy's like, you should definitely talk to him. And then a new kid shows up, and this kid's name is Josh, and he's like, I'm worried that I'm gay. And Buffy's like, there's no reason to be worried that you're gay. Gives him a little pep talk. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being gay. I know gay people. They're great. And he's like, well, Josh is like, I just don't know. It's not that I'm sure that I'm gay. It's just that I don't know. So maybe you should go on a date with me to make sure that I'm not or that I am. And Buffy looks at him like, this motherfucker.
In my notes, this is where I wrote, Sunnydale is full of creeps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, there's so many, like, student extras in this that are obviously 45 years old. Like, this kid Josh looks so much older than... He looks older than Buffy.
He's probably still in his 20s, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Zachary Ty Bryan looks super old in this, too. And he's definitely, like, just coming off of the show, probably.
Off of Home Improvement?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. That didn't.
Yeah.
You'll have to tune into Joe's Fashion Report /Corner, where I talk a little bit more about this. But anyway. So yeah, the kid was just trying to be a creep to ask Buffy out. And this goes hand in hand with like that first episode when Buffy was worried about thinking that people were going to think that she's a mom. Or us being like, no, people definitely would think that she's hot.
Yeah.
So after that, another girl comes in and she's not doing, oh no, actually the other girl is Dawn. Yeah. Dawn shows up.
Yeah, complaining about her sister.
Which I thought was a nice little gag.
Nice little reveal that it was Dawn complaining about her sister.
Yeah, so it sounds like your sister is like a control freak and all this stuff. And Dawn's like, yeah, and she takes my clothes and she, without asking, Bobby's like, oh.
Buffy can't fit your clothes.
You're right.
Tall. You're lanky.
So yeah, now this other girl comes in and she's not doing her homework. And Buffy's like, why aren't you doing your homework? And she's like, because I'm not going to graduate. It doesn't matter. Buffy's like, well, you're not going to graduate if you're not doing your homework. That's for sure. And she's like, no, I'm not going to graduate because next Friday, I'm going to die. And Buffy's like, what?
Happy Death Day.
Yeah. And she's like, do you mean that you shouldn't kill yourself? And she's like, oh, no, I'm not going to commit suicide. I just know that next Friday, I'm going to die. And Buffy's like, well, how do you know? Is like somebody threatening you? Like, what's going on? And she's like, no, nobody's threatening me. Nothing's crazy. I just have this feeling in my gut that I'm going to die. And there's going to be a lot of coins. And there's going to be weird coins. And Buffy's going to try to help. But she can't. And then she's like, all right, I got to get back to class, though. Yeah. Buffy's like, what? No, wait. Wait, hold on a second. And she's like, no. Okay, I got to get back. Thanks for all your help. I'm leaving. Goodbye. And that's a nice shirt. You should probably put on a sweater so it doesn't get stained. And Buffy's like, oh, okay. Well,
what? This is a nice shirt, this white tank top.
It's literally just a white tank top. It's like a what you would call a wife beater. It's even ribbed like that. Like a multi-pack tank top.
This is where I was like, Buffy is not getting paid enough and is not qualified enough. This is when you think, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind being like a psychiatrist or a psychologist and like a therapist and stuff. And then someone comes to you with like a real problem and you're like, oh, this isn't just like dating advice or what should I do? Should I major in this or should I work here or not? When you have like real trauma stuff like this, this is, this is where some training could help.
Yeah, man. Now, this girl, her name is Cassie. Mm-hmm. She looked familiar to me, too. I don't know if she's been in anything else, but she looked real familiar.
She did, and I wasn't really sure what I
didn't know if it was like she looked familiar because she's been in other things that I may have seen, or if she looks like somebody that I know. But I saw her, and I was like, this is like someone that I've seen before.
The actress's name is Azora Sky.
That's a pretty badass name.
Yeah. She played Jane in the sitcom Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane on the WB.
Well, never heard of that shit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe she just looks like somebody I know. But anyway. So after this weird encounter, Buffy's like, I got to go to the principal. I got to ask him what to do. So she goes over to Principal Wood and he's like, you did a good job. You talked to her and you came to me. That's exactly what you should do. And Buffy's like, well, what are we going to do about it? Like, this girl, she's going to die next Friday, apparently. We. And then so Principal Wood starts to talk to Buffy about his bully that he had in high school. And he's like, man, I had this bully in high school. It was real bad, especially where I come from. And Buffy goes, the hood? And he turns over and goes, Beverly Hills, which I guess technically is a hood. And then Buffy is ashamed in racism.
This is accurate for Buffy.
Like, yes.
Her interactions with people of color has been almost zero. Besides... Yeah. Riley's
Mr.
friend.
Trick.
Mr. Trick. Yeah. Riley's friend.
And Kendra.
Kendra, who she didn't like. Riley's friend, who she didn't like. Mr. Trick, who she didn't like.
Is Buffy racist? She killed one of those black people. Her boyfriend killed another one.
She did not have any remorse telling Riley that she killed. What was that guy's name?
It started with an S. Forrest.
Forrest, yeah.
Forrest with the salmon sweater. that's what the I always think salmon.
Turtlenecks. I think that turtleneck.
That's iconic Forrest wear. If only I was doing the fashion report back then. Forrest would have been.
When did you start it? Did you not start in season 4?
Maybe it was season 5.
Maybe.
I think it was because I talked a lot about Glory. Yeah, it was definitely season 5.
Mm.
Anyway. Okay. But yeah, Buffy's racist. Anyway, Principal Woods from Beverly Hills. And he's like, yeah, I talked to a big game. I told this bully, like, fucking, if you come around me, I'll bust your ass. And it was all just posturing because I couldn't even bust a move, let alone bust an ass. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're definitely from Beverly Hills.
Oh, boy.
And Buffy's like, okay, well, I'm still worried. So, like, what are we going to do? And the principal's like, sometimes there's nothing you can do. Like, you can try, but some things are just, like, not fixable. Like, we can do our best. We can try to talk them out of it. We can try to get them help. But sometimes shit just happens and you can't help it.
And this scene is reinforcing the theme. There's a theme right there.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then Buffy goes, no, but we have to do something. And she, like, purposely walks into his desk.
It's the shot is so weird.
Yeah. It's a bad.
I was like, did she hit the chair? Because it's like from behind her and she's stepping forward as if she wants to talk to the principal more, like closer. Yeah. And then she bumps and spills coffee on her shirt.
Yeah. Thus fulfilling Cassie's prediction that her shirt's going to get stained.
I do love that Buffy has a line here where she goes, I don't usually get a heads up before someone dies. And he's like, what?
Oh, yeah. What? Yeah. And then she tries to, like, correct it, but she makes it worse. She's like, I mean, like, usually I can help it. But,
I just want to help.
Never mind.
Help. Title episode.
Yeah. So after this, Buffy's like, all right, I'm going to go to Dawn. And she's like, hey, Dawn. She does that classic thing where Dawn's at her locker and she closes it and Buffy's standing there like, So she's like, hey. Oh, what were you about to say?
I do like that the show has figured out how to utilize Dawn.
Yeah. Like, Dawn's being a lot better this season.
Like, season 5, she had to be what she had to be. But I think season 6, they kind of let it linger.
Mm-hmm. Did they have to? Did they have to let it linger?
I thought about it as soon as I said it.
Every time anyone says that word, yeah.
But yeah, this one, she's actually a part of stuff. She has things to do. There's a reason to incorporate her.
Yeah, and, definitely.
Yeah.
And she has, like, her own agency, too. Like, she's not just, like, going along with everybody. Like, she's bringing up good points of, like, hey, is anybody going to blame Willow for this?
Yeah.
Like, last episode, going to light Spike on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's an active participant because Buffy is like, hey, will you keep an eye on this girl, Cassie? Because she came to my office and she said, she's going to die next Friday. I'm a little bit worried about her. And Dawn's like, all right, sounds good. And then they go to the library and she sees Cassie chatting with some boy. I think his name is Mike. Yeah, Mike. And he's asking her out to the dance that's coming up. And Cassie's like, what do you mean? Do I want to go to a dance? And he's like, no, I was just wondering if you're going to the dance and if you'd like to go together. She's like, what? Why would I go with? Why can't I just go? In my notes, I wrote Cassie is being very dense. She's avoiding saying yes to Mike because she knows she's going to die next Friday. And Dawn shows up now and interjects herself into this conversation. And she's like, hey, I'm sorry. I believe we're in ceramics class together. I am Dawn Summers. Do you know if we had an assignment in ceramics class? And Mike is like, great, Cockblock is here. Let me just leave.
Yeah. I was surprised Dawn introduced herself at this moment.
I was surprised. It was a little annoyed that she was like, I'm Dawn Summers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just had to lead to a thing.
It's like the thing I always bring up when you watch a commercial and it has an athlete in it. And then the person's like, hey, Pedro Sanchez? Hey, pitcher for the... they run down the whole stats.
Is that Dak Prescott, the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys? Yes. And I'm here to tell you Sleep Number beds are great.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, they always have to have like a Chiron or someone doing that.
LeBron James, basketball player and arguably the greatest.
I feel like LeBron has transcended that.
LeBron is the one that could get away with it. Higher level, but all football players have to.
Yeah, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes
Patton, like Tom Brady.
Peyton Manning.
Brady, Peyton Manning. But sometimes they'll still say Tom Brady.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that Tom Brady, he's in a Hertz commercial now, and they still do the Chiron to him.
LL Cool J's in a commercial now, too. And just like, okay, it's LL Cool J. Don't react. Wait,
is that a Geico commercial that he's in?
It's one of those turning into your parents. Yeah.
Turning into your parents. One of my buddies is in, like, every one of those. Martin Morrow. great comedian. Everybody check out Martin Morrow. But yeah, Dawn goes up and he's like, "Hi, I'm Dawn Summers." And Mike leaves. Dawn sits with Cassie and Cassie's like reading Slaughterhouse-Five. And Dawn's like, "Oh, that's cool. What class are you reading that for?" And Cassie's like, "I'm just reading it because I'm an intellectual, basically."
Yeah. She tells Mike that he's going to get a B on the test. And he's like, "I'm going to get an A." And she's like, "Oh, whatever, you dummy." I'm the precog here.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cassie's like, "Wait a second. You said your name is Dawn Summers, right? Like the counselor, Buffy Summers? Are you her sister?" And Dawn goes, "No, she's my sister." And Cassie's like, "All right, you fucking psychopath."
Oh, you can see the future, but you can't tell that. Got it. Great. Yeah.
So Dawn's like, "So what's up with that guy? Are you guys going to the winter formal? Or, like, it seems like he wanted to go to the dance with you." Cass is like, "Nah, I don't think so." Dawn's like, "Why? He's a total fucking hottie." And Cass is like, "Yeah, he's cool. But like, I don't know, I'm not going to be around for that." And Dawn's like, Oh no, this is what Buffy was talking about. This is why I'm keeping an eye on you."
And by eye, you means interjecting myself into your life.
Yeah. Whether you want it or not. Yeah. So after this, Willow, Xander, and Buffy are researching who Cassie is and like what her history is. And they see her permanent record and everything. And they're like, "Oh, she used to be a really good student, but something happened. Like there came a point where she just apparently gave up and now she's not a good student." And Xander and Willow are like, "I don't know, Buffy, maybe she's not a precog. Like she said that you're going to stain your shirt, but like that could just be a coincidence."
Now,
and then
I know what you're going to bring up, but I want to bring up something that's come up previously.
Doubting Buffy. Yeah.
Now, people in Discord came down on us a little bit saying why, when we said that it was crazy in the first episode that the high school was already evil and stuff, our issue wasn't that people should doubt Buffy there. The thing was, the first episode needed to have a little bit of like, is this happening? Is it not happening? I did not need Xander or Dawn to think that Buffy was crazy or that she was wrong. I just needed her to kind of be like, make it seem like she's making more of a bigger deal of it. It was just like, she was like, "Oh, I think high school's going to be dangerous." And then it was just dangerous immediately. Like the holes in the floor, demons in the basement, everyone freaking out. It was like right away. It was like, no, is this Buffy like overreacting?
Now, it was day one.
Yes. It could have been a little bit of nuance. It could have been the bad guy could have been like a regular person and not a demon or something. You know, it could have been a little more, you know, gray. Now here, this is just something I realized, that it might be Willow's presence that makes the Scoobies doubt Buffy. Because Willow's back.
Why did you say that?
Willow's back here. And now Xander's like, "Oh, maybe you're clumsy, Buffy." He did not question anything before that in that first episode.
Yeah, and that is true.
And why would you question if this girl is a precog or not after everything you've been through for the past six seasons?
Yeah. So I was like, I think you're on to something, because before Willow came back, Xander and Buffy were like a pretty damn good tag team.
Yeah.
Like he called her over to the construction site and he's like, "I called you first thing. Like, what do you think we got going on here? Let's go visit Spike. Let's go do this. Let's go do that." And now Willow's here
and all of a sudden it's
doubting
like
the Slayer.
Now it's like, "Oh, maybe this is that. Oh, you know, you're kind of clumsy anyway." It's like Buffy just told you, the girl said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're onto something.
Maybe.
Why is Willow being a fucking hater?
Willow just being around, everyone starts doubting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they look through Cassie's medical records, which I was like, wow, what a fucking violation.
Yes, and those things were not on the internet.
Like, no.
Accessible.
I mean, I guess if you're a hacker like Willow is.
It was so probably pretty hard to find him. Like,
you could hack into the hospital and Xander's reading her medical records. Like, I probably shouldn't be doing this. And I was like, yeah, none of you should. This is a HIPAA violation. God damn it. Cassie brings a lawsuit to Buffy and Co.
Eh, she's not going to be around.
Yeah. So after they are like, I don't know, we're not really finding anything. And then they're like, well, what if we, let's just Google her name. Cassie Newton. And then they're like, okay, well, she's got her own website. Let's go to her website. And it turns out Cassie Newton is a poet and also a pretty damn good website designer.
Especially for this time.
Exactly, dude. 2002, this is a very complex website.
Yeah, it's not a great website for today's standard. But for then, it's not full of oh my God, what was it? That hip art? Clip art?
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, you also have to imagine, too, like, this is a 16-year-old doing this as well.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, as we've already stated, everybody in Sunnydale High is a little super genius. So
that's true.
They're building lifelike robots. I think they can handle a website.
So,
wait, they we have to bring this up. Willow says, have you Googled her yet? And I believe this is the first time Google was ever used as a verb.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard about that. I've known about that for a while in this show. And when she said, have you Googled her yet? And Xander goes, wait, she's a young girl or something. And then Willow's like, it's a search engine. So this is the beginning of like Google something being a verb.
No way. Yeah. Did Buffy the Vampire Slayer coin that? That's nuts.
Yeah, I think it's the first. I mean, it might have been said in the world, but this is the first time like in mainstream media. Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong on Discord, but I believe it is. Yeah,
that's badass.
Yeah.
But yeah, after Willow talks about how this girl is a poet, Xander's like, "Oh yeah, poetry. That's always a sign of emotional problems or something like that." It's like, ooh, not always the most stable people are fucking writing poems, am I right? And then they start reading her poems, and her poems are dark as fuck, and they're all about dying. And then Dawn comes home, and they're reading the poem aloud, and it's just all about death. And Xander's like, called it. This girl is fucked in the head. And Willow's like, well, I mean, this is a thing that just teenagers do, like emo teenagers do. Like, we just write poems. Like, I wrote a bunch of love poems about Xander back in the day. And Xander's like, really? You did? And then she looks at him with just like this disdain. And she says, I'm over you now, sweetie. And I was like, damn, dude, you didn't need to be that.
I know. I was like, I don't think he thinks that. I think he's just any kind of praise Xander takes to head, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, even after she roasts the fuck out of him, he's still like, eh, I still got love poems written about me. That's pretty cool.
He doesn't have a lot of
love poem written about you, Vance?
Not that I know of.
Oh,
you?
I had a girl write a song about me after we broke up, and it was like very sad. And I saw it, and I was like, my skin was crawling, dude. I was like, oh, God.
And that girl was Taylor Swift.
Yeah, remember the song Dear John? She just changed a couple letters around. It was about me.
Yeah, you know how you spell Joe with an H.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I might have had somebody write some other stuff about. I know that some people have written some other stuff about me. A little more salacious, a little more sexy stuff about me. But that song, it was like, I felt bad hearing it, but it was also like a musical theater ballad, and it kind of made me cringe a little bit. I was like, oh. Yeah.
Well, Willow mentions that she used to write Doogie Howser fanfic.
Yeah.
Fan fiction. which was interesting because she would later go on to star in How I Met Your Mother with Neil Patrick Harris. So
Yeah, man. That was a big fucking show back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts.
Yep.
But yeah, anyway. Then they keep Googling about Cassie and they find her dad on Google. And her dad's got a rap sheet. And Dawn is like, guys, I got a theory. I have a theory. It could be Mike, the guy that wants to take her to the dance.
I love that you just were like, oh, musical theater, ballet, cringy. Cut to, I'm going to sing the musical episode.
I'm going to sing from the musical episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah, I did do that.
Yeah, you did.
We're all beautiful contradictions, aren't we, Vance?
I love that I didn't say it and call it out before because I thought about it and then you just went ahead and just.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, Dawn's like, I think that it has to do with this guy, Mike. And then Willow just kind of cuts her off and she's like, yeah, I found stuff about her dad. Her dad has a violent past and he's got like arrests for being drunk and disorderly or whatever and violent. And Xander's like, it sounds like my family. I'm on top of this. And Dawn's like, no, guys, I think you might be jumping to conclusions a little bit. I want to talk about my theory that I think that it's this guy, Mike, and like no one is listening to Dawn.
Which is wild. This might be the best mislead the show's ever done.
Yeah. I mean, Dawn is talking and Buffy's like halfway out the door.
Yeah.
I was like, geez, if Dawn felt like she wasn't being seen or heard or paying attention to last season. Like,
I'm surprised she didn't instantly turn invisible.
She's going to have to like call up Halfrek again. Like, hey, they're really not paying attention to me now. Let's get them stuck in the house one more time. Because damn, dude, like they just blew her off so hard.
Yeah, she's throwing out theories, you know, take it all.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, Buffy asked her to tail Cassie.
Yeah.
And Dawn's like, I have some information. And Buffy's like, fuck your information.
Yeah. Willow's here and she has a computer.
Yeah. Willow's like, I was on the computer. Or Dawn's like, I was on the computer last episode. What the fuck?
Yeah. That would have been a nice little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they head out. Willow's going to do some more digging, I guess, at home or something. And Buffy and Xander go to Cassie's dad's house. Which I was like, yo, this scene is so insane to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they go and they knock on Cassie's dad's door and he comes. He's like, hello, can I help you? And Buffy's like, hi, I'm the counselor at Cassie's school. Can I come in and talk? And he's like, okay, sure. And they go in and Buffy's like, have you been drinking? And she looks at his like countertop and there's a bunch of booze on it and he's like, I mean, so what, like what if I have been, like Cassie's not here,
who are you guys?
Yeah,
who are you?
Who's this guy?
Yeah, he hasn't introduced himself.
Yeah. And Buffy's like, would you hurt your daughter? Are you hurting her? And dad's like, what the fuck? What? I who are, it's like 9:30 at night, like what the you just come to my door. Buffy's like, yeah, we looked into you. You got a rap sheet. He's like, dude, did Cassie's mom put you up to this or something? Because she's trying to take away the one weekend I have with my darling baby special girl. And this is where Buffy's like, wait, what? You love your daughter? He's like, yeah, dude. Like, I want to still see her, but like, I only get one weekend with her. And it's not until, or like it already passed or something. And Buffy's like, wait, so you're not going to see her next Friday? And he's like, no. And Buffy's like, huh, all right, goodbye. And then they just leave. I was like, you didn't apologize? You just came into this guy's house and they're like, are you beating your daughter? And then he says no. And then you go, oh, okay, bye.
Well, he's like, I want you to leave. But he's not like, what is this about? There's that.
Yeah.
And this actor is played by Glenn Morshower, who was Aaron Pierce in 24. So two people in this show, the principal and this guy, were in 24. And I love watching shows like this because you see like the casting agencies. Like you can just see like the actors that are on this one show are all like guests on this other one.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You can see the pipeline.
We might see some more 24 people.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So Buffy and Xander leave, and they're walking out, going to the car, and Buffy's like, I just don't get it. And then Cassie shows up.
But before that, I think Xander reiterates that he thinks it's suicide that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah,
I think because she thought it was going to be suicide in the beginning, and then he is like, "I think it's suicide." We saw the poetry.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of poet slander on this. Mm-hmm. But so Cassie shows up and she's like, "It's not my dad. Don't worry about my dad. It's not him." And Buffy's like, "Then what is it?" She's like, you know what? I wish I wouldn't have said anything about this to you, to be honest with you. And they're like, Cassie, just like tell us what's going to happen. Like, what's going on? And she's like, no, you wouldn't understand. And you wouldn't understand and you couldn't do anything about it. And Buffy's like, is this like, are you going to hurt yourself? Is somebody like, is this about something else? And she's like, well, I just like, I don't want to die. I don't want this to happen. It's just going to. And it sucks because I want to do a bunch of normal high school girl stuff. Like I would love to go to a dance with this guy that I really enjoy. And that guy, Mike, he's like, he really wants to go to the dance with me, but I'm not going to be able to do it. And I want to grow up and I want to hike the Himalayas and like all these crazy life goals. He's like, I want to go backpacking through Europe and I want to live in Amsterdam and become a prostitute. I want to be...
It's like, you need to get out of Sunnydale because that wasn't going to happen anymore. You're a blonde woman lurking in the shadows at night. You're not long for this world anyway.
And then Buffy's like, you can do all that stuff. You can smoke weed with Willie Nelson if you want to. Just tell us what's going to happen and we'll try to help you. And Cass is like, I can't tell you because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but I know next Friday I am going to die and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Something out there is going to kill me.
She's like, she doesn't know why or how, but she's sure her dad doesn't do it.
Yeah.
She has very specific precog notions. But very vague here.
Yeah. And then we cut to a cult of red cloaked people circling a picture of Cassie. And then they light the picture on fire. And then it's like, oh, Jesus. I was like, this is pretty late into the game to be introducing this, you know, cult situation.
Right. Yeah, it's fine. That's about right.
But creepy shit, man.
It would be creepy on a different show, not creepy on Buffy.
Yeah. So then we go to Buffy on her work computer reading Cassie's website once again. And Principal Wood shows up and he's like, hey, how you doing? And Buffy's like, oh, it's all right. You know, it's been a tough week. And he's like, yeah, but you know what? It's almost over. Thank God it's Friday. Am I right?
can't believe I just said that. I'm so lame. Well, this is the cue of like, oh, this is Cassie's death day.
They could have cut to Buffy looking at a calendar and had the X. But nope, they had this.
Had to be said.
Had to be said. More accurate that the principal would say it than Buffy has a calendar that she X's off.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. Or even like one of those flip calendars that you rip off the day or whatever. But yeah, the principal coming over.
Yeah.
Hey, it is Friday. Okay, goodbye.
Light exposition.
Hello, Buffy. It is Friday. Okay. Goodbye, Buffy. So Buffy's still reading.
Oh, you know what would have been better if he was like, clock's ticking. We got to do something about that.
Got any big plans this Friday night? If he would have said something like that, that seems more natural.
Yes, that's more natural, yeah.
But him, hey, thank God it's Friday, am I right? Oh, goodbye. I'm going to go sip my coffee. Goodbye. So then there's a montage of the Scoobies doing research about Cassie, and they're trying to figure out what to do. And then they have Cassie at her house, and she's just doing stuff, writing more poems and hanging out with her friends and hanging out with Dawn, who's, you know, best friends with her now.
Honestly, it's been a week, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all eating lunch together, her, Mike, and Cassie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, remember back in the days when it was just you make friends that quickly? I can't remember the last time I made a new friend.
I don't think I'd ever made a friend that I was that quickly that I was willing to call best friend. or to put a label of we're friends on it. This quickly.
Yeah.
Also, what happened to her friends from the first episode?
Who, Dawn's?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gone. I took a lot of time learning Kit's name and frickin' Pedro.
You didn't put a lot of time into it.
I remember Kit. Yeah. Not Harrington.
It seemed like that was going to be her crew, her little mini Scooby crew.
Nope. Because now she's got Cassie and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. So Buffy's got a great idea. Who is she going to enlist the help of? The insane vampire that lives in the basement of the school.
Let's hone in on the lives in the basement of the school.
Yeah.
Spike lives in the basement of the school.
Mm-hmm.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Even if he wasn't a vampire.
It's just like, how does no one discovered him yet? And Xander assured us that there was going to be no funny business.
Mm-hmm.
He constructed this school so that it would be safe from all funny business.
Yeah, they put a sign that said, no students can go down the stairwell. And they all just...
It's just to protect Spike. Is the janitor not going down? Like, is no one going down there?
Is maintenance... never go down there?
Yeah.
And I love that the basement of the school is not like lit up. You know, it's not bright. You know, you could put lights down there.
No.
It's all creepy and dripping with water and fog and mist.
Rats. Remember like a couple episodes ago, there was just like a thousand rats down there?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's what Spike's eating.
I guess that's true, yeah. But, so Buffy goes to Spike. And he's just sitting and he's like zoned out. Like he is checked out, just staring straight ahead, sitting on the floor. And Buffy's like, Spike, what are you fucking doing, dipshit? And he's like, if I don't move, it won't hurt. Okay? If I don't move, if I don't talk, if I don't do anything, it won't hurt that much. And Buffy's like, well, get up, dummy. You need to help me. And Spike's like, no, I'm not gonna help you. And Buffy's like, come on, god damn it. there's something going on. There's something bad about to happen. And somebody's like, I know, there's evil in the school. There's evil in the school. And Buffy's like, yeah, yeah, there is. So will you help me? And he's like, and the evil in the school is me. I am the evil. And then he just starts punching himself in the face.
Yeah, he says, William hard. Is a bad man. I hurt the girl. And then starts punching himself. And Buffy shakes him out of it. It's like, not this girl, me, this other girl, Cassie.
Yeah. It's not me, dummy. Cassie Newton. You know anything about her? And Spike's like, I don't know shit. And then Buffy's like, well, then you're worthless to me. See ya.
And then he asks her to stay. And then she says, it hurts. I think it hurts more when I'm here.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
because he's like, will you stay and help me be quiet? And she's like, I think it would make things worse if I am here.
But Willow, I'll give her my hand so that she can suck all the power out of me to rekill herself.
She had some skin to get back, man.
What should we do with Spike here? Like,
Yeah, I don't really know, man.
Well, Buffy, do you just walk away from a vampire that's losing its mind in the basement and just go back upstairs to your desk?
Yeah.
Do you just kill Spike and put an end to it all? Or do you want to keep Spike around and just use him for information?
Just put him out of his misery, dude. Like,
you're just using him for like, hey, there's a problem. Spike, can you help me with it? No, she's back to using him, not sexually now.
Yeah.
I would love to see how they transition from him throwing himself on the cross and her crying to her just going home. Because the next episode starts, the last episode starts as if that never happened at the end of the other episode.
Yeah. It's just, don't worry about that.
It cuts to, hey, we're picking up Willow from the airport. Wait, what?
Yeah. Very bizarre. Mm-hmm. So we then go to Principal Wood and a guy like going through students' lockers because they're worried about Cassie, and they're like, oh, is somebody going to hurt her? Is somebody going to do something? And Buffy runs into that guy, Mike, and she suspects that he might hurt Cassie, and she's giving him fucking attitude. Mm-hmm. She's like, what the fuck's up with you, man? You know that girl Cassie, right? And Mike's like, yeah. And she's like, are you going to hurt her? And he's like, what? No. I asked her to a dance. She's like, I heard you asked her to dance and she's rejected you a bunch. So are you going to hurt her? Which, fair.
They should have brought the reference of the ultimate villain turn. You want to go to the dance?
With the hellhounds.
No. Yeah.
Andrew's brother.
Yeah. I love that cut so much. That's the best edit in the show.
Yeah. You don't understand why I'm doing this. Cut. You want to go to prom with me? Ew, no. Cut back. That was so good, man.
Yeah.
So it's in line with Buffy to suspect this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This isn't from out of nowhere.
And also Dawn mentioned it, and she's not giving Dawn any credit.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
So she's like, are you pissed off that she's rejecting you so much? He's like, no, I mean, makes sense. I mean, he's like, we're teenagers, teenage girl. That's like what teenage girls do. They make guys go crazy, right?
That line seems so sexist, but is delivered joking and playfully. It was really weird.
It's also like a line that a 37-year-old would write.
Yeah. The line, I wrote it down. She's a girl. Making boys crazy is like your job. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah. And then after he says that, Buffy's like, oh, okay, maybe this Mike guy is not that suspicious. And he goes, hey, you're Buffy Summers, like the Dawn Summers. That's your sister. You're
Dawn's sister.
Yeah. And then he's like, wow, that's interesting because, since Cassie's not going to go to the dance with me, I was thinking about asking Dawn. And Buffy's like, What do you fucking mean? Yeah, my sister's going to be second fiddle to this Cassie. And
Dunn's your second choice? It's like, focus, Buffy. Focus. Yeah.
So
there's a girl about to die today.
And you're offended that this guy that you just like accused, you're like, you're going to murder this girl. But as after she says this, a bunch of coins fall out of a locker. And Buffy's like, bunch of coins? Cassie said something that there's going to be a bunch of coins. Whoever's locker this is probably has something to do with this. So she walks over to the locker and she's like, this is locker 281. All right. Mental note. I'm going to look up whose locker that is. So she finds out whose locker it is. And the guy whose locker it is comes in and Buffy's like giving him the interrogation. She's like, what's up with all these fucking coins in your locker? He's like, I don't know. I got a coin collection. And then Buffy's like, I'm about to collect my fist in your fucking face. A girl's going to die.
I love that Buffy has an open office plan office too. So everyone can hear this.
Yeah. Like the secretary's sitting there like typing something. Like, Jesus Christ. This new counselor's intense.
So, Principal, what we need to talk about this Buffy Summers. I heard threatening students.
Yeah. And Buffy's like, what's going to happen? And the kid's like, I don't know. And then she's like, I'll beat the shit out of you. And he's like, all right, I might know a little bit of something.
Oh, you're that Buffy Summers. Okay.
Yeah. So he's like, something's up. Something is going to happen. I don't know. Somebody gave me these coins. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but they're going to mess. Somebody's going to mess with Cassie. I do know that.
Doesn't this guy look like he's dressed like a maintenance worker janitor in the scene or something?
Yeah, he's got like a, what do they call it? Like a boiler suit on.
Yeah.
And he also looks like he's mega old.
Yeah.
Like, look, I got a receding hairline, but that guy had a receding hairline
with the
too.
Little comb like, thing over. Like it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what they were going for with this vibe here, but yeah.
Yeah. But Buffy's got some info now. Mm-hmm. So then we go over. And Dawn is like, hey, Cassie, I'm going to walk you home. Is that cool? And Cassie's like, I know what you're up to. I know that your sister sent you to hang out with me, to keep an eye on me. And I know that you're wanting to walk me home because you're worried about me dying today. But there's fucking nothing you can do, dude. I'm just going to die. Like, it's fine. And I was like, but I don't want you to die. Yeah, just because Buffy told me to keep an eye on you doesn't mean that we're not friends. Like, I think of you as a friend now. And Cassie's like, okay, yeah, sure. I mean, I think of you as a friend, too. It's been nice knowing you, though, because I'm going to fucking die.
Cassie says we're friends, but yeah, I'm out.
So as they're walking across campus, that guy Peter from Home Improvement, he yells out to Dawn.
Yeah.
And Dawn turns and he's like, hey, Dawn. I was just wondering, has anyone asked you to winter formal yet? And Dawn gets all like, actually, no. No one has asked me to winter formal yet. And then Peter goes, cool, I was just taking a poll. Later, loser. And he, like, backs up. And I was like, God damn, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Because earlier when he goes to see Buffy, he just is in there because he's bored and just fucking around. So it's we're getting that like Law and Order rule of, hey, there's a guest star. I wonder if this guest star is going to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after he walks away, Dawn turns around. And she's like, God damn, that guy is such a fucking jerk, right, Cassie? Cassie? Where is it? Dolly zoom in on Dawn. Mm-hmm. Where she could be anywhere.
She should have done the I Know What You Did Last Summer spinning around.
Yes.
That would have been great.
Yes. So then we go over and we go back to the cult people with the red cloaks and they're all chanting shit and they're all about to do whatever kind of sacrifice or ritual there's about to do. And then one of them unhoods themselves, and it's Peter, the guy from Home Improvement. He's like the head cult guy, it seems. And they're doing a ritual to get rich. And they're there, and this is what's going to happen. And no one's going to interfere because they've booby-trapped the place. So if anyone comes in, then they're gonna get something coming to them. They don't say exactly what, but they say that it is booby-trapped.
Yeah, it is. It's wild. And this has been established that you can sacrifice stuff to demons to get rich and famous. Reptile boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the mayor, basically, his whole his whole thing. So,
yep.
It's weird that this is happening in the school.
It's in the library, it looks like.
Yeah, and school just ended.
Yeah.
Like,
Where's Giles? We need Giles back in the goddamn library.
Oh, Giles wants nothing to do with any of this. Yeah.
He's doing his own independent research on his horse.
Yeah.
So they're going to do this ritual, and in order to do it, they need a sacrifice, and Cassie is bound and gagged. She's tied up. She's got duct tape on her mouth, and they're going to sacrifice her. Peter grabs a gigantic meat cleaver, and his explanation of this is, if Cassie dies, no one would be suspicious of anyone killing her because of all of the suicidal poetry that she's been writing on her website, and everyone would just assume that it was a suicide in a river somewhere. And I was like, is this a callback to that girl that Warren killed?
Well, they said disappear. Did they say river? Maybe they mentioned
river.
No, he
said suicide in a river somewhere. Yeah. And I was just, like, oh, is that Katrina reference?
Could be, but also people disappear all the time here. It doesn't matter at all what the reasoning is. You could have picked out anybody.
Yeah. So as they start doing this ritual and as Peter is about to start cutting up Cassie, Buffy pops up and she unhoods herself because she was in this cloaked circle the whole time and no one noticed.
And it's been established in the beginning. This is Buffy's episode where she's hiding out, hiding in caskets, hiding in a robe.
Yep. So she's like, all right, I'm here to thwart your plan. And Peter's like, oh, no, you can't do it. And you're a stupid bitch.
Trigger word.
Yep. And then Buffy's like, oh, stupid bitch, huh? She just starts kicking his ass, which is awesome. And she beats him up and she's like, all right, there you go. That's the end of your whole ritual thing. Don't you know you shouldn't be summoning demons, you idiot. And you have to finish the spell in order to summon the demon. And Peter goes, you mean a demon like the one behind you?
Yeah, Buffy is giving them the rundown like, oh, little kids playing with spell, trying to summon demons, like that's a real thing that works or something. And I'm just like, Buffy, you know.
Yeah.
You know this is going to work, right?
Yeah. And so, demons behind Buffy turns around and starts attacking her. Buffy takes the meat cleaver and she throws it at the demon, and it just like gets into it. He gets winged by the meat cleaver, just stuck in his chest, and he just fucking takes that shit, man.
The meat cleaver has the word Dexter on it too.
Yeah,
I guess that's a brand. But it was like so prominent on it.
Yeah, it was really heavily featured on there. Like they lingered on that meat cleaver. Yeah.
And I've watched the show Dexter. I don't think he uses a meat cleaver that often.
So the demon takes the meat cleaver out of his shoulder, chest area, and Buffy and the demon start fighting, and the demon just throws the knife aside, and Peter's like, ooh, cool. All right, I'm going to grab this, and I'm going to kill Cassie now. And Buffy and the demon, like, Buffy gets tossed by the demon, and she's now under his foot, and he's like, no, I got to save Cassie. Oh, no. Well, I'm incapacitated. Who's going to save Cassie? Cue Spike showing up with like a gigantic torch that's on fire.
Why? Where? How?
Yeah. So he starts yelling, I'm helping the girl. I'm helping. And then he tackles Peter and he starts beating Peter up, and every punch that he throws, he's getting a chip headache. And yep. Then Buffy takes the torch and she's like, good helping. Thank you, Spike. And then she torches the demon and it gets set on fire. And then Spike unties Cassie. And as he unties Cassie, Cassie turns to him and she tells him, she'll tell you. Someday she'll tell you. And Spike's looking like, And I was like, oh boy.
I know. That's my same reaction.
Oh boy.
What do we have to look forward to? Another emotional, it's going to be an emotionally wrought scene with Buffy and Spike, and she's going to say something and he's going to get all weepy and
yeah.
Can't wait for that in the finale.
Yep.
Oh my God. We're definitely going to cut to a flashback of Cassie being like, she'll tell you.
Oh yeah, we'll get that in the recap at least, at the very least. What do you think that Buffy's going to tell him, huh?
Well done, Pig. Well done.
That'll do, Pig. That'll do.
I don't know. It's got to be something vague and moving for him.
I feel like it's going to be forgiveness, because I don't think Buffy's ever going to be in love with him.
No. Yeah. Is she just going to say thanks? I don't know.
Yeah. It's going to be something very simple like that.
Yeah. It's going to mean a lot, but the words will be simple.
Yeah.
Oh, so, maybe she'll say, you're a good man or something.
Like, Yeah.
Because that's been a whole thing about her not calling him like a not treating him like a man.
Yeah, and like the whole time he's beating up Peter, Peter's like, who the fuck are you? And he goes, I'm a bad man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't really, that's...
Yeah, but that would be set up for her to be like, you're a good man.
Yeah, Charlie Brown.
She's already called him William before. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, she said William when she dumped him that one time.
Yeah, which was good. That was powerful. So a good man would, that would seem all right. Yeah. We'll see.
So after Cassie tells Spike this, he gets up and he leaves. He's like, all right. And Buffy's like, good job. So Buffy goes up to Cassie and she's like, see, we helped you. And Peter's annoyed. He's like, the demon's dead. And then the demon's like, bitch, I ain't dead. And he gets up and he bites Peter in the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And Peter's like, help. Somebody help me. It bit me. I'm bleeding. And Buffy just walks by him and she goes, my office hours are 10 to 4. And she just leaves him there, bitten. And then the demon explodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
This troubled me so much. There's a murderous group of students in this school.
Yep.
Willing to kill a girl to get rich. Buffy just walks away. Like, that's fine. This guy's not even dead. He's just bleeding.
He just got bit.
Yeah.
He's probably got rabies. He's going to have to get a tetanus shot.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be fine. Like, he's going to get mended up. And you think he's not going to summon a demon again?
Yeah. He's going to want to sacrifice Buffy next time.
But Buffy, remember what happened last time you beat up a chauvinistic male? What happened? Yeah. Did people get shot? Mm-hmm. Did people get shot with a gun? Do something about this guy and this whole crew. All of them get away?
I think he learned his lesson.
You know what? Yeah.
Because he got beat up by a bad man.
Got beat up by a bad man and a bad bitch.
Yeah.
Like, they just let him. It's like.
Yeah, he's just there.
Yeah. I don't. Not the ending I wanted for. I thought the demon was going to kill him when he bit him too, and I was like, okay, that's fine. Buffy doesn't have to kill him. The demon does it, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he just gets bit on the shoulder for some reason.
Yeah, and then he screams the episode title a couple times.
Yeah.
Help! Help! I got bit.
I was like, Buffy, don't do a one-liner. Put him out of it. Like, do something. Arrest this guy.
Yeah, we need to throw him in. We need the return of library jail.
Yes, library jail
that
needs to be a real thing.
Needs to go to fucking library jail so hard.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go directly to library jail.
Yes. Oh. So after this, Buffy, they walk out, Buffy and Cassie, and Buffy's like, see, nothing's going to happen. You're safe. And then Cassie opens the door to leave, and I forgot about this, but the door was booby-trapped with a crossbow. And this crossbow shoots a crossbow right at Cassie's face, but Buffy quick catches it, because she's got that Slayer sense, baby. And she's like, see, nothing's going to happen. You're safe. You're not going to die. And then Cassie's like, cool, thanks. And she falls to the ground, and Cassie's like, you know what, Buffy, you're gonna make a difference. And she dies. Cassie falls over and dies.
Yeah.
And Buffy's like, yo, Cassie, no. She's taking her pulse. She's dead. She's fucking dead.
These students were gonna crossbow someone if they tried to come in.
Yeah.
Instead of just locking the door, they were going to murder just anybody that opened that door.
I mean, I'm sure they locked the door. Maybe Buffy and Cassie unlocked it when they were about to leave.
If you set up a crossbow, you're okay. They're just okay with just murdering a student, killing whoever was going to come and interfere. They all need to be shut down. It's not... Why?
Yeah. We've seen several instances of security camera footage in this show. Does the school not have security cameras?
Did your school have it?
Yeah.
I don't think we didn't have it. I didn't have it. My school didn't have security cameras.
Mine definitely did.
Like inside the hallways and stuff?
Yeah, the entrance, the hallways, yeah.
I mean, this is a new school, high tech. You would think they would.
You would think so. I mean, you see that fucking Mac that Buffy has, that like clear glass Mac.
But what would you do if you saw what happened in the library?
Blame it on drugs, PCP.
So Buffy, I saw you fighting a demon and then a blonde guy who I've heard reports of students seeing in a basement came in with a torch.
And Buffy, we need to talk about you threatening the students as well, and then beating up some of the students.
And somehow you told us this girl was going to die on Friday, and she did? And apparently you went to her dad's and threatened him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if the security cameras would be a good or bad look for Buffy.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel God. Like Principal Woods has a lot of stuff to deal with here.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, Cassie bit the dust. And now we have the Scoobs at home, and they're all just sitting there in shock. They're kind of lamenting Cassie's death. And Willow is like, how is Cassie's mom taking it? And Buffy's like, I don't know how the fuck to explain it, because it turns out Cassie's mom tells them that their family has a history of heart irregularities and just caught up with Cassie. Like, this is just something that was going to happen. And Willow starts talking about, like, hey, I guess it was just fated to happen. There are some things that you can't change. Like, she was going to die today no matter what. And Xander's like, yeah, and Cassie just knew that that was going to happen. And Buffy is like, I feel like I failed her. I feel like I failed her. And Dawn's like, no, you fucking did not. Buffy, you are not to blame for this. It was her heart. You did everything you could, but you just couldn't save her. It wasn't anything that you could have done. And Buffy's like, well, what do you do when you can't help everybody? And then it just kind of lingers on them, and like, whew, goddamn.
Yeah, Dawn says you tried, and that's all you can do, really. And Dawn is emotional in this scene.
Yeah, she's like, I was my fucking best friend to die.
I was like, you weren't even that broken up when you killed the vampire that you thought liked you.
This is Cassie. I've known her for a fucking week. She's so cool.
Yeah, I was like, all right. For someone who's witnessed a lot of people dying around her, this one really got to her.
Yeah. And then we close on a scene of Buffy at school the next day, just kind of looking at her computer, learning the tough life lesson that you can't save everybody, and eventually people do die.
And that all you can do is try.
There is honor in the attempt, Vance. Mm-hmm. Something that I harp on a lot. And that's the episode. It was okay.
Rough first week for Buffy, but fitting for what her life is like. Only one attack in a week. That's pretty good.
Yeah. First week on the job. Student dead. That's not that bad.
That's not that bad.
For Sunnydale High?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Maybe keep some tally on all those other people in the robes, you know? Keep track of that Peter guy, you know? Maybe. Yeah.
The school newspaper's got some obits to write, you know?
I will say this. We've always asked, how does Buffy know when people are going to come out of the grave or whatever? But I guess they read the obits, and the obits always say neck puncture wound.
Well, it's established here today that they can get anybody's medical records that they want. Sure. Yeah. So I guess, like, if anybody dies, they can just look up, like, hey, how'd they die?
And vampires are just turning people into vampires willy-nilly. Even though they're supposed to be very picky about who they turn.
No, I mean, we've seen Drusilla not be that picky, though.
With who?
Remember they were telling in that flashback episode, Angel and Darla were like, hey, now we're really selective about this. Don't be just picking anybody. And the first person she sees is Spike, and she turns him.
Yeah, but that's only one person. Like, in all the years she's been around, I don't think she's turned another person.
Yeah, you know what?
There's not, like, a history of, like, Angel turning people into vampires.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they are very, like,
just because they're very picky doesn't mean that all the other fucking nobody vampires in Sunnydale aren't.
Well, there's a scene in Angel that I won't go into where where someone's trying to get turned. Or I don't want to go into stuff, but there's some stuff where people want to get turned, and like, vampires aren't that.
I was going to bring that up, but I was like, wait, is that an Angel?
Yeah. We got some new listeners, new subscribers to Angel, so we're not trying to throw any Angel spoilers into this. But there are Buffy spoilers all over Angel.
So, oh, yeah. Angel, yeah. No holds barred on Angel podcast.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I'm really digging... Me and Vance were talking about this before we started recording. I'm really digging Angel season 4 so far. Vance, we might have a little disagreement about that.
Yeah. I think season 7 of Buffy is better than season 4 of Angel right now.
And I'm liking Angel a bit better than Buffy. Now, that's not to say that Buffy is bad. I'm still enjoying Buffy, but I'm slightly enjoying Angel season 4 more than Buffy.
Yeah. They're doing some weird stuff.
Yeah. I think that last season I liked Buffy better than Angel.
Yeah. Season 6 of Buffy is a little dour, a little dark, but it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's just mm-hmm. like a real serious, it's a real serious season.
It's drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Angel season 3 was like, what the fuck are we doing for some of it? But anyway, enough of that kind of talk. Anything else to say about Help, Vance?
No, it's a pretty solid episode. The only thing that bothers me is that they just let these dudes live and just keep hanging out in the school to murder again. After,
I mean, what are they going to do?
I do something considering what happened at the end of last season. You can't let this stuff linger around the school.
Especially when Peter, it's like echoes of Warren when he called her a stupid bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just don't know what they would do.
Hey,
Dawn, keep an eye on Peter. suck his dick, get close with him. get real close with him.
I don't know. Just say he threatened to kill. I don't know. You got to get him. You have to get him out of the school at least, because that's where your sister is.
Yeah. If you touch a hair on my sister's head, I'll kill you.
Think about it. A guy like this who is willing to kill Cassie will seek revenge. And if he wanted to get revenge on Buffy for stealing, basically emasculating him and taking away his chance at riches, why would he mm-hmm. not attack her sister?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. That's the only thing. I know they just like, the show kind of wraps up quickly. I did like that Cassie did end up dying and that they didn't save her. I did like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. I like the whole thing of like, she could have died any number of ways, like mm-hmm. Peter killing her, the crossbow, mm-hmm. and then just like having a heart irregularity.
It's like
whatever.
A Final Destination scenario.
Yeah.
And then Death was like, why am I playing all these games? I can just Death Note this.
Well, that was like a concept in the anime that I love, Steins Gate, where it's like some things are just like fated to happen. And it's like, no matter what you do, you can try all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Some things, like, you just can't change.
Yeah.
Or if you do change it, like, completely fucks up with the whole world. And, like, it'll throw off reality like crazy.
Yeah. I think they married this plot with the theme of Buffy, why do you even continue to do what you do thing. I thought they did a good job with that. And, yeah.
Yeah. So the next episode is titled Selfless.
Willow is going to do something. Willow's going to do something selfless.
All right. I'm going to guess that Anya does something selfless.
Ooh, okay.
There we go. Well, everybody, that is a wrap on our episode on Help. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Please join our Discord. We have a bunch of fun conversations going on in there about all kinds of topics, but mainly Buffy and Angel and shit. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy, where we do Joe's Fashion Report /Corner, Boys Watching Angel, Boys Watching Movies, where we just released the Clueless episode, which is a very fun episode. Ooh, if you want to get a shout out, Apple Podcast 5-star rating and review, Spotify 5-star rating, take a screenshot of it, send it to us some way, and we'll shout your ass out. We got Amazon wish list. We got some new stuff on there. We got merch. Instagram @boyswatchingbuffy. Email boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com. And we will see you next time for when we talk about Selfless.
You aren't mad at Cassie with her rejecting you like that?
Nah. She's a girl, right? Making boys crazy is like your job description.